is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome my colleague and friend and mentor, Gregory Copley of Defense and Foreign Affairs, the author of the new book, Noble State, about constitutional monarchy. We will speak of King Charles in our King Charles report, but first, the People's Republic of China, non-transparent in the extreme. However, Xi Jinping, an aging tyrant, a man who had forced himself on his party for a third term, a man who has regrets from his childhood, a man whose father was one of the heroes of the revolution, though he was badly treated by the revolution and was restored only because he was stubborn, not because they cared about him. However, all these decades later, Xi Jinping seeks to imprint upon the party, upon China, upon the world, his understanding of the revolution, People's Republic of China. And yet, Gregory, a very good evening to you. For some time, you've been telling very carefully how the party reacted to the failure of Xi Jinping's economy, and it's given him rope. I believe the proverb is enough rope to hang himself. How's he doing? Good evening to you, Gregory.
Good evening, John. Well, I think he's fought almost his last desperate rearguard action to save his power. Now, in fact, his power has really all gone. He, I think, has accepted, according to a number of people around him, they say that he's agreed to it, to step down and just remain with the title of President of the People's Republic of China, which is a powerless position. He'll lose the position of General Secretary of the Communist Party, and that'll probably occur at the fourth plenum of the 20th Party Congress, which is going to occur in October. But today he was out on the trail. He gave a speech, quite a passionate little speech, too, on the 76th anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic of China, which the anniversary is today, September 30th. But it was a meaningless speech in respect that he can't make policy. He can only be this figurehead. And that was quite clearly evident when we saw the premier going to the United Nations General Assembly session instead of the General Secretary, although it was not necessary that she would have attended. But the fact that the Premier went and almost certainly had private side talks with the U.S. government and possibly even with President Trump during there's a five-hour gap in his schedule unaccounted for. So it looks like he met with Trump. The reality is that, of course, they're preparing now for this transition of power, which the Communist Party of China hopes to do very smoothly and make it look as though she is stepping back because of illness or health or age issues, and will now be the president of the PRC. The reality is that we've got a completely new China, and what we don't know from all of this is how smoothly this transition is going to go over the coming 20, 30 days. But if it goes badly, then the Communist Party of China's future is very short indeed. And it may be that even with a smooth transition, it will be very, very difficult for the Communist Party of China, the elders who now are in power, and those who have moved against Xi Jinping. It's going to be very difficult for them to rebuild the economy in such a way that it will allay public fears. The crowds are in the street in almost every city in mainland China at this stage. The military has been restless, and there have been power blocks which supported Xi Jinping and power blocks which opposed him. But the ones which have opposed him are now definitely in control under General Zhang Yuxia, who's the vice chairman of the Central Military Commission. And he will probably become chairman of the Central Military Commission. And under this new leadership change, of course, Xi Jinping will lose any position at all of meaning within the Central Military Commission. So it's going to be a very interesting few weeks ahead of us. Although Xi Jinping today, with his speech, urged President Trump not to support the independence of Taiwan or the Republic of China. This is basically a meaningless comment as well. It's trying to look as though he's talking substance when he has no ability to deliver on anything. And we've seen the PLA, the People's Liberation Army, also in no shape to follow through with any of Xi's threats. Now, that doesn't mean we won't have unrest. It doesn't mean we won't see some elements perhaps trying to push for a conflict with the People's Republic of China. Those plans go ahead regardless, because politically they have to keep saying that China is indivisible and you can't have a separate China. The reality, of course, is that the Republic of China, Taiwan, is the one which carries the legitimacy and continuity from the transition from the imperial throne in the early 1910s when the Republic of China was declared. People's Republic of China has never had the legitimacy of a formal adoption of power from all of China. It's merely a gunpowder state lacking legitimacy, and the Communist Party knows that. And as long as Taiwan exists with the title of Republic of China, then the Communist Party of China is in shaky territory.
We're looking at a geopolitical scene that is less threatening than the new leadership, I'm presuming, is not going to carry on with the mission of being number one in all categories and ignoring the trade routes around the world. Because under Xi Jinping, it's been my reporting for some years, there's a predatory nature to China's rise. Is that going to ease, go away, be refuted by the new leadership?
It's going to have to go away, and it'll go back to at least the Maoist levels, or even Deng Xiaoping's period, where, yes, they want to have a global voice and they want the prestige of that, and they'll try to rebuild some of their prestige, such as it was. But they don't have the money or the resources or the solidarity to go ahead with a global campaign of aggression. So from that point of view, the people who are saying that the People's Republic of China is the dominant partner in the Russia-China so-called alliance are wrong. I believe that China has already exceeded the real power in that relationship to Russia. China, mainland China, needs Russia more than the reverse at this stage, which is quite interesting, because mainland China can't afford to get its energy and food in sufficient quantities from anywhere else in the world. And China has an enormous food and water problem, which is only going to get worse, even as its population declines rapidly.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I often skip over the fact that China has bad water and bad food and depends upon imports from the United States, from Canada when they took them, and now from Brazil. It's always been a puzzle to me how a power that cannot feed its own population can go to war and cut off all those trade routes. It never made any sense, did it, Gregory?
No, it didn't. And I told Mrs. Gandhi, Indira Gandhi, in the 80s, early 80s, that India could not become a world power until it became a net exporter of food and had to follow that by becoming a net exporter of capital. Well, the same, and I said the same thing to the Chinese as I spoke to them. I said, you know, how can you attempt to be a global superpower, a gunpowder state, when you don't have the ability to feed yourself and you are dependent upon your enemies for your food? They acknowledged that and they said, well, as soon as we've solidified our global power, we'll go back and address that. Well, of course, they never were able to go back and address that, largely because of the deterioration, again, because of their policies, of their food and water resources, their absolute mismanagement of the land and the water. And right now, they're importing more than 40% of their protein. And even that, I think, is showing that they're not sufficiently well managed to distribute whatever food they get to adequately supply the population. And they don't have an economy which allows people to buy food when and where they need it. So the problems of China are not going to go away anytime soon, quite the contrary. I think we've got a decade of massive humanitarian crisis in China under the new government of China, which will be initially, at least, the Communist Party of China continuing to manage things and try to redress the situation, trying to move away from being manufacturing and supply oriented to being more consumer based, a true market economy. In other words, one where the market pushes the production sector and not the other way around. But that's going to take decades to sort out. And I don't believe they've got an actual policy for that at this stage. And certainly they're at the whim of the world for the supplies of food.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, the author of the new book, Noble State, the Ayatollah, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, where? When do they retreat? This is CBS Eye on the World. When we come back, Tehran today. I'm John Batchelor.